I wish all of you Happy New Year on this first day of 2023. I do thank all of you for your Christmas help and gifts and certainly presents. Please continue this new year and know that the graces continue to flow despite us being tired or forgetting, as long as we are generous with the graces God gives us. Today is the Feast of the Octave of Christmas. It is also a Sunday. Two in one today. Please take a bulletin for all the details. I will try to refrain myself from the announcements today. The second collection is for the Academy. There will be the blessing of religious articles after Mass. And for those who were enrolled as Knights of Our Lady on December 8th, your certificates are ready today. Please just see me sometime today to receive that certificate. And also, the resolution for our parish this year. Remember, last year was to make a retreat. Many of you did so. I do thank you. I did not get the specific data, but most likely about 50 parishioners went on retreat, either on December, men and women, the senior retreats, and many down in Ridgefield. So I do thank you. Out of 500 parishioners, 50 people, it's quite good. But not everyone did go who could have, and so we're going to re-up that resolution. And those who were not able, you did not get out of the resolution. So do think of going this year for a retreat. If you've already made your retreat and you can't make one each year, try to go on a pilgrimage. Of course, September is the North America Martyr one that is very easy to do, or some other pilgrimage in penance or in gratitude. But also, we would like to do something for the children who cannot go on retreats, and pilgrimages are just fun. So what can a child do to unite under a certain resolution? It has come clear to me as I preach many masses but don't offer all of them. That means I spend some time in the hallway. Many people leave the church, or rather this gymnasium, and once they see me, they feel guilty because they know they don't need to leave. Mass is a sacred place, a sacred time. Please, parents, encourage your children to be disciplined. They don't leave during a movie. They don't leave during something that they love, which may mean they need a little bit of a reflection on the Mass. So I encourage all of us to leave Mass less frequently. That little sip of water in the water fountain doesn't sustain you for life, but it does satisfy an urge. But our Lord satisfies more. So let us try always to not leave Mass, even for the restroom, unless, of course, it is an absolute necessity. So those will be our resolutions this year, the retreat or pilgrimage, and not to leave Mass. For the epistle of today's Mass, it is taken from Titus chapter 2, the same for the midnight Mass of Christmas. Dearly beloved, the grace of God, our Savior, hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope in the coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is taken from St. Luke chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, the child should be circumcised. His name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Jesus, the name under which we ought to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking around you today, you might consider yourselves special, as you are one of few, very few, attending this early Mass. Each Mass this morning will have a different tone, different circumstances. As many people ended last year or began this one in a different way, and they need different words as we all have different talents, different dispositions. And so for you, you could be the elect, the sacrificial. You might have gone to bed early. So to take the graces of this new year, to be prepared for what may come, as we know when we get up early, there can be surprises. That is that cliche, I got up on the wrong side of the bed. It doesn't make sense, but it's an idea that there are contradictions that we meet, and other days are better. So you could have gone to bed early because you're here early. Or you could be a sacrificial because you stayed up late to bring in the new year. You celebrated with family. You could have been at the holy hour, some of you were. And you're still here at the early mass, which means you are sacrificial. Your sleep, your time. And that is what we will say. You are the sacrificial parishioners. And with that, much will be asked. Because you can do things children know that they had during Advent in the academy, a challenge of cleanliness. This school has not been so clean in my time because of a challenge, because of encouragement, because they were reminded day by day and they were graded on it. We ought to do the same for ourselves. God is grading us day by day. He's not looking at what we will not do and putting a punishment for us, but he's rather encouraging us through the liturgy, through all the ceremonies, all the graces he offers today, a plenary indulgence that deletes all of your past punishment due to sin. In one thing, is God not merciful? And so he looks at us, and we should try to motivate ourselves day by day. There are too many people speaking of depression, discouragement, even in the youth. They don't know where they're going. They can't meet the goals they set. And therefore, they're deflated. This year, you, the sacrificial, generous ones, try to keep in mind that God is there. God is there to help. He's there to motivate us to be generous. In what way? This octave of Christmas is also two other feasts, the circumcision, which we read in the gospel, a prefigurement of baptism, when we had to sacrifice part of ourselves so to be cleansed, the bodily actions, the bodily cleansing to represent the spiritual cleansing. At baptism, when that water pours over the child's face, that symbolizes the soul being washed from original sin. But also, this feast is one of Our Lady. And that is why we have the vestments tinted with blue, because you want to be reminded that we start the new year not only with our Lord, the focal point, but also Our Lady. You look at the collect of today's Mass. The liturgy, the Vespers, is all taken from the feast of Our Lady. Our Lady is a central point, because after the child got all the glory, the birth of a child, there is what we call a mother. A mother having given birth to a child. The mother doesn't get enough fame and glory, enough stage time, and that's why we want to reflect on her. But she, a good mother and being the Blessed Virgin, she wants to twist all of that energy towards again her son. And that is why the council of Trent's catechism would say today that although we just took exams at Christmas, we were focused upon many different things. We were looking to prepare our soul, getting gifts. We were trying to decorate and clean, trying to think of the incarnation. There were a lot of things going on as a student has to study many different subjects and be examined on them. Today, we're focused upon one thing. Let us not be distracted. What is the foot that we want to be resting upon to make this year a good one? Not like the others, which were good, more or less, but this to be the perfect year because it may be our last year. Not to be dismal, but to be real, that we want to die. We want to go to heaven. That's the goal of life. And we will want that if we rest upon this one truth. That is, Jesus is the name under which we wish to rest. Jesus means Savior. Jesus is the one mentioned by the prophets, by the angel, and then is the one given officially on this day. Jesus is powerful. In Scripture in the Old Testament, you see others named Jesus, which just meant they were a Savior. They were a certain prefigurement of what our Lord would do to redeem. We want to be saviors. We want to be disciples of Christ. We are Christians, a follower of Christ. But we want to be the Christian, that is a Catholic, the one who truly follows our Lord, the one who does defend his name. No one would ever want to be caught dead, having their mother or father, their last name, desecrated. And yet, the most powerful name is used like water and sliced bread by every man, most men today. It is our duty to reflect upon the significance. This is a powerful name. It is hallowed in the Our Father, the one in the Mass, that prayer given by Christ to us, has seven petitions, seven things in which we ask. The first, the most important, is hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. That is what we petition in the Our Father. Let us make that ours. It's a dogmatic point. Jesus Christ is holy through and through. There is not an aspect that you can profane. It is a name that must be elevated and revered. But not only for us, because most of us, because we are the sacrificial, generous ones, we don't profane his name. But yet we're around so many people who do. Let us go outside of that comfort zone. Let us make a step for our Lord. He will judge us. Did we do things for him, or did we neglect things about him? Some of you are choleric. Some of you are leaders. Some of you have tempers and fight for our Lord and throw tables up and justly correct others, but not many. Many are passive. Many wish not to be part of something, but they are. Many are followers, but yet God's grace is sufficient for the day's need. There are some students who out of nowhere do amazing things. On this last report card, there were teachers who were amazed at the results of some students because they are not typically sharp. And yet, God gave the increase. And yet they collaborated with God's grace. Do we ever doubt God's sufficient grace? We are adoring the child. This baby, like other babies, is God, the one whom you kneel to receive. Do you believe what you do? Do you believe what you say? If so, believe that this powerful name, which you defend, will save you. And also we have to remember the moral aspect. That is the second commandment. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me, is the first. But then the second of importance, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Let us try to examine last year and see if we ever fell to this, or others under our charge have fell to this, or are we around people that do this? It is not Catholic. It is not construction worker talk. It is not the locker room talk. Those people will be disciplined. Even though the church might not come out from the pulpit and say so, although we might not see that discipline taking place, it will be corrected. And let us remember that we have to clean our mouths. The world is doing everything they can do for our destruction. Do know that. Every year, the technology gets better and better. People get worse and worse. Politics gets crazier and crazier. What are we doing to make sure that our salvation is more secure? The salvation rests in this name. Try your best to say the litany of the holy name of Jesus during this month of January. That's a great start. Try to say ejaculations in reparation for those sins of blasphemy. That's a great start. Those little children who don't even know what is being said today is way above their eyes and ears. Let us bring it down to their level and encourage them to say that name of Jesus well. There is a hymn in a pilgrimage that says, "Jesus, I adore thee. I lay my life before thee. I give myself wholly to thee." Let that be our refrain this year. And know that the Blessed Virgin Mary, who adored this child who she gave birth to, is the one who was there when he was given his name. Let us ask her to protect us in defending this name throughout the year, because under this name rests our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.